Open our eyes, Lord, that we might see. Open our ears that we might hear. Open our mind and our heart that we might understand, so that we will turn to you and live.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever it is that you're listening to this. My name is Bliss. I'm the senior pastor here at All Souls. And every single week in our weekly email, we include pastoral words. And from time to time, we have not just written them, but also included them in an audio format. And this was one of those weeks that felt important to do so. And that was because I wanted to talk about what was coming just around the corner. In fact, just 2 weeks from the time of this recording, as a church, we are going to gather to celebrate what has traditionally around the world been called the Triduum. That is those 3 days leading up to Easter, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and the Easter Vigil. And so I want to take just a moment to explain a little bit about the three of these, how they connect together. And for many of us, that third one, Easter Vigil, is something new. And this will be our first time as a community celebrating it, and want to give a little bit of explanation around what it is we'll be doing that night and why, out of all the days in the liturgical calendar, that is one of the more significant. And so as I was thinking about this, I think a helpful way to think about these three services is actually as one service, or one service with three movements. In fact, just a few years ago, we created one large liturgy guide to cover the multiple services over Holy Week. But for my fellow theater kids, I want to sort of introduce the Triduum as a play with three acts. Act one is, of course, Maundy Thursday. Maundy Thursday, on that evening at 6 p.m., we'll gather and have our attention drawn in on the life of Jesus. In fact, the Triduum follows, Maundy Thursday draws our attention to the life of Jesus, Good Friday to the death, and Easter Vigil to Christ's resurrection. But in Act 1, we focus on the life, specifically focusing on the events of the Last Supper. And Maundy Thursday brings an official end for us to the season of Lent, though again, around the globe traditionally, this actually begins for many a more intense 2 days of fasting as we wait for Easter. If you're with us during this first act, you'll notice that the liturgy, and that's our prayers, our songs, is neither sorrowful nor celebratory. It really tries to thread the needle between those two. A common practice in many churches is for the pastor, for the priest, to wash the feet of the congregation. But one expression that is common in some places is what we're actually going to do, which is the mutual washing of hands. And we do this as a way to symbolize what the foot washing is intended to symbolize, to remind us that we're called to serve and be served by God and to serve and be served by one another. One of the more striking aspects of Maundy Thursday that really brings a conclusion to Act 1 of this liturgy actually comes at the end of the service. There's no official dismissal of the congregation. Rather, myself, along with the deacon, will do what's called the stripping of the altar. We remove the communion elements. We remove the linens, the candles. We'll cover our giant cross in black fabric. Then, and only then, we'll be dismissed into the darkness in silence. And we do this to wait the beginning of Act 2. And this emulates Jesus' invitation to his disciples after the Last Supper to leave with him, to go to the Garden of Gethsemane and to wait with him, to, in his words, keep watch and pray. And this brings us to Act 2. Act 2 is Good Friday, and we remain in Act 2 in the darkness that we entered into on Thursday. How could we rejoice, after all, on a day like today? All we can do is gather in silence. All we can do is gather and pray. And so we do. Our Good Friday service is described as a tenebrae service. A tenebrae service means darkness. And on that night, we have come having entered into the darkness. We remain there in the shadows with Jesus. There will be a series of candles that are lit. And all of them, except for one, because God's light is never fully extinguished, are going to be snuffed out one by one with each reading, as our readings recount the passion narrative, and we descend with Jesus into death. Every once in a while, we'll stop to reflect, sing, or remain silent. but we will leave just as we entered, mourning and silent. There is no celebrating, there is no excitement. And this is important, especially, I think, in our day and moment that is so obsessed with what is shiny and bright and new and exciting. And this brings us finally to the final act, Act 3. Act 3 is Holy Saturday, is the Easter Vigil. Now you may be thinking, wait, I thought Easter Sunday was Act 3, and it both is and it isn't. It is in the fact that Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, is the first Sunday in what will be 7 Sundays of Easter. But for the global church, the first Sunday in Easter is not when we first say, Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed, Alleluia. It is not the first time that we see the light after the darkness of Thursday and Friday. Most of us are no doubt familiar with Acts 1 and Act 2, but Act 3, the Easter Vigil, especially in this form, is going to be new. And so I want to explain a little bit about what happens in the service. The liturgy begins in the dark, and in the darkness, a single candle that is a light is brought to the center of our sanctuary. Each of you will receive a candle. We'll have electric ones for the kiddos when you enter. And you'll be invited to light the candle from the center candle that is called the Paschal candle. With candles lit, we will hear the story of the salvation of the cosmos read, beginning in the Hebrew scriptures and making their way all the way to the resurrection of Jesus. As this story comes to its climax, we will sing the Gloria. And in that moment, the lights come on. We sing our Alleluias, for Christ is alive. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Jesus is alive. Now, typically, this would be a night for baptisms, and maybe we'll do that next year. But for all of us, it is a moment when we are invited to remember our baptisms, that in our baptismal vows and in our baptisms, we entered into death with Jesus and followed Jesus into resurrection and new life. One of the ways we'll remember our baptism is we will do this by having water sprinkled on us as we celebrate. And then finally, we will celebrate the Eucharist together, which will be our first communion of the Easter season. Following communion, we'll be dismissed, and we'll be dismissed singing Alleluias as we enter into the night. And we enter into this night knowing that the light has come, and that the light is a light that the darkness could not overcome. The darkness we enter into this night, because we will enter into darkness. But it is not the darkness of mourning, and it is not the darkness of sorrow. It is the darkness of intimacy. It's the darkness that exists in the closeness of friends, in the closeness of lovers, in the closeness of saints. Having concluded the beginning part of Act 3, we enter then in together on Sunday morning into what will be 7 weeks of celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, of God beginning the process of making all things new. Now, you can find out more details about these services, the time, any other things you may need to know by going to our website, www.allsoulsseville.com/holyweek. I realize as we enter and move that way that we will be on the very beginnings of spring break. There is, for many of us, no doubt a lot that will come with that and a lot of preparation that is required for us to enter into that week. Growing up, we would be in church multiple times throughout the week, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, and I know that that has, for many of us, not been a reality of our lives. So the idea that we would then gather three nights and 1 day in a row may seem foreign, and if anything, a little inconvenient to our sensibilities in this moment. But I want to gently encourage us to do what we need to do to intentionally rearrange our days. I think especially for any of us who have children or youth, oftentimes, Easter is the only thing that they experience when it comes to this story of Holy Week. Maybe Good Friday, but most often Easter. And I think it's important for them to know as they enter into their lives, as humans, as children of God, that God is not just with them on Easter Sunday, but has entered into the darkness of suffering and loss, the darkness of death, well before any of us have. And that because God has entered into those places, we know that we are not first alone as we enter into that, but also that God is transforming that suffering, that God is transforming that death. And one of the ways that we learn that is by placing our bodies in those places. And this is a chance for us to enter into this story in a very holistic, embodied way. And so I hope that you'll hear that in my pastoral heart here, that I long for us to be gathered together to remember, to mourn together, to enter into the sufferings together, but also to sing our alleluias together. And so, friends, I hope we see you. Grace and peace. May God bless us as we enter in and continue on in this great story.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.